Time now for the Moskowitz Mailbag here on KGO 810. I'm Chip Franklin. We take your questions via email at chip@chipfranklin.com for Steve Moskowitz about the law and taxes. All right, Steve, you ready?
Absolutely.
Here we go. First one's from Bob from Livermore. And I'm just going to crunch it down to the crux of what he has to say. He says, okay, it's a month away, and there's no way I'm going to be ready to file. If I called you today, walk me through what would happen.
We'd file a extension. And
does he have to come in? You can do it on the phone. How does that work?
Oh, we can do it on the phone. We file an extension. But what's important to remember about an extension is an extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay. So if you think you owe the IRS, you have to go ahead and pay with the extension. Now, what happens, say, that you owe, but you don't have the money to pay him? You can actually set up an installment payment plan with the extension. You want to do that to avoid the penalties.
Let me ask you a question, because over the years, I've filed a lot of extensions. And at the end, I might have owed the state a little bit of money and not the Fed, maybe both a little bit, and I didn't pay in that period of time. And if that was like 5 years ago, could they at some point come back and say, hey, you owe me that money from 2012 plus interest?
I would immediately defend you on the statute of limitations. Generally, the government has 3 years from the time you file the return or the due date, whichever is later, to assess the taxes. So they came back 5 years later and said, Chip, you forgot to report that $10 million bank account. My response would be, I won't go to the merits of the case. The statute of limitations has run. That's it. Goodbye.
So if he called you, like if he called today, 888-TAX-DEAL, and spoke to an associate, and then you guys said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set you up with an extension, first of all. He could get all that pretty much done that day on the phone?
Absolutely, and we'd file the extension for him.
Well, that's great. That's a huge thing off his mind,
just
I would imagine.
Just a phone call, and that's something that's real, real common.
Yeah, and I would imagine your office is insane, like on April the 13th or 14th, right?
We always think of that as the happy time. We like to be busy, but that's okay. That's the nature of the beast. And when I started doing this over 30 years ago, I realized that it's just like a department store on December 23rd. If you're in the department store business, you have to be geared up for December 23rd.
And there's actually two extensions, right? The first one comes in the summer, and then the second one is in October. Is that right?
That was done away with many years
really?
Ago.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Now it's one extension. It used to be 2 months were automatic, and then you'd beg for 4 months more. Now they just give you the 6 months.
Oh, well, because I realize how long I've been filing extensions.
Well, that's why you have me, Chip, so you don't have to know that.
So there was a period of time where you filed that first extension, and then you had to ask the IRS for the second, and they could say
And you had to give a reason. See, the extension is an automatic extension. You get it for the asking. But in the old one, the first one, the only 2 months, was automatic. The second one, you had to give a reason, and then the IRS would tell you yes or no. And if they said no, you had to file within 10 days. That's long gone.
All right, this next question is really interesting and I guess unique for our area in a way. So Teresa from Palo Alto, she says, I started working at a large Silicon Valley company and I received a signing bonus. And she put in here, she didn't tell me not to use it, $100,000.
Okay.
She says, I'm only 26. Everybody says you got to get a tax attorney to break up the payment. I heard you on with Chip. I'm wondering, what would you suggest?
Has she already received the money?
She has not got the money yet. So she starts in a couple months, and she's supposed to get the money. And somebody told her she should get a cut in half, so in some this year, some next year.
Now I'm going to answer both as a tax and financial. On the one hand, a lot of the athletes do this, where they go ahead and they take the money over a period of years to push the tax into other years. However, it depends what she would do with the money, because you have something called the time value of money. If you receive a dollar today, it's more valuable than a dollar tomorrow. So I would ask her about her investments, her portfolio, her other earnings. Is she single or married? And then we would say, well, this is best for tax, but for finances, it might be better to do it the other way. So it's not just a tax question, it's a tax and finance question.
When would it be, what kind of money would have to come in to be treated not as taxable income, but as a capital gains? For example, that wouldn't be capital gains.
That's ordinary income. Capital gain is what's known as an occasional sale. For example, if you sold your house, that would be a capital gain.
Okay, what if I sold an antique car that I had?
That'd also be a capital gain.
If I sold my own car, my regular car?
No, think of a capital gain as it's an occasional sale.
Okay, so my regular car would be that too.
Unless you were a car dealer. So if you, Chip Franklin, sold it would be a capital gain. If a car dealership sold it, a car would be inventory, it would be ordinary income.
So, I mean, obviously there are levels of income. We would have to know what she was making at one level, and if that $100,000 bumped her into a really disadvantageous level that she doesn't want to be in.
Well,
right?
I'm sure it would be, but again, I'd ask her about her investing. Let's assume she was in the top level, And
what is the top level of income for a top level generally?
Figure it about half. If you're really, really in the top level, it's just over half when you combine federal and state. But for
half
talking
purposes.
No.
50%. I mean, where do you hit 50% generally?
Right around the $400,000 area. So what happens is I would say, well, wait a minute. Do you believe that there will be a major decline in the tax rate next year? If that were the case, I'd say, well, wait a minute. If it's going to be taxed significantly less next year, you might want to push it into next year. However, what would she do with it investment-wise? Suppose she said to me, look, she has a great investment counselor, and whatever she gets today, she thinks she could triple it. Then I'd say, okay, pay the tax and make the money. So it's a combination of investment and tax. What are you going to do with the money when you get it?
Interesting. And there's always, could you put that, could that count in your deferred benefits if it's not part of your actual salary?
That would be another thing, too. And you see that a lot with spouses. Suppose, for example.
Explain what it is, what I just said there.
Well, there's all kinds of things you can do, for example, with pensions, where you go ahead and you put money away. And when you have a pension deduction, you'll see that you have a tax deduction. It's wonderful. And you also have an extra benefit where the pension investment is not taxed while it's in the pension account. So it's just rising in value. And if everything goes badly and you have to declare a bankruptcy, it's an exempt asset in bankruptcy. So there's a lot to do with pensions. But let's assume that she was married. And let's assume that her husband had a profitable business. Then what he could do, we have clients, we wiped out as much as $600,000 a year with the really fancy pensions. So with a joint return, we take the money and we wipe out his profit. Also with a pension, that's something you can do, for example, now, 2017. Can you still have a pension deducted from 2016? The answer is yes, and you can fund it as late as October 15th, 2017, to deduct from 2016. Say, but Steve, Chip, I don't have the money. How can I do that? Then what you could do is you could file your tax return the day after the extended date, April 19th this year. Go ahead and deduct the pension, get your refund, and then use the refund to fund the pension. So there's lots of stuff you can still do.
Thank you, Steve. That's Steve Moskowitz with the Moskowitz Mailbag. You got a question about taxes on April 15th. Send them to Chip at chipfranklin.com. Yeah, thank you, Steve.